from you. Yeah, once they're teenagers, that's kind of life, but, you know. But still, I wonder if God wonders that about us. Oh, you only come to me when you need something. Of course, he does say, come to me, call to me, I'll answer you. But last Sunday, we did the prayer walk. We covered the campus with prayer. Why? Because we want to see God do something on this campus. We want him to change the hearts of teachers and students and coaches and cafeteria workers and custodians and bus drivers. We want God to influence the principal and the assistant principals and the administrative staff to lead by biblical principles and not by the world's agenda. So we prayed for a variety of things, right? A variety of things to happen here in this new school year. And they had a warm-up Friday, half a day, but tomorrow, man, they're going full-time. And I said this last Sunday, the very seats you're sitting in is going to be teenagers sitting in your seat tomorrow. And probably tomorrow afternoon it might be a different teenager. And then Tuesday may be a different one. So before we come back and sit in these seats again, there may be 10, 15 different teenagers sitting in the very seat you're sitting in. And we don't know what they're dealing with. It could be all kinds of stuff going on in their life. So pray. Pray over that seat, you know, before you leave, that God will release peace to whoever sits in that seat. God will release hope, encouragement, joy, just fruit of the Spirit. I know a person that they had staff meetings every Monday morning, and the boss of this company was really harsh, and he was foul-mouthed, and this woman was very troubled every time she'd have to go into the staff meeting. And so she started going in earlier and praying over his seat where he would sit. Lord, touch his heart. And when he came in and sat down, it was like he couldn't get comfortable. There was something about that chair. It was the same chair he'd sat in every Monday. So stuff like that happens, and it works if we'll believe in faith when we pray over things. So I know everybody, the people that were in here last Sunday, prayed over all these chairs and the stage and the booth and the band room. Sometimes we get so caught up, though, in our own stuff that we don't think about others. We can just barely get through the day. We don't have time, or we don't think to pray for others about what's going on in someone else's life. But I'm thankful that we have people here that if me or Bobby needs prayer for something, or certain people, we'll just text, hey, please pray, or they'll text us, please pray. So I'm glad that we have that connection here. But it was a good prayer exercise last Sunday to take our focus off ourselves and pray for others and believe that God is going to move in the very places we prayed. I believe that, and I hope you do too. Otherwise, why do it, right? But what do we do when we've prayed and we've waited and we've prayed some more and we've waited some more and we've prayed again and we've waited again and we've fasted and prayed and we've waited and we don't get the results we had hoped for? We don't get the results we had prayed for. What do we do when it seems like absolutely nothing happens? That loved one we've been praying for years doesn't change. That situation we have at work or at school or at home, it doesn't change. God bless you. That obstacle in our way doesn't move. What do we do then? Well, that's what we're going to look at this morning. The message title this morning is Praying Without Results. And we've got a couple verses in Matthew 7 we're going to look at and a few other things. So, Father, we want to know, what do we do when you don't answer, or when it seems like you don't answer, or someone gets their prayers answered but we don't, or someone else's kid gets well but yours doesn't? And what do we do when it doesn't seem like anything's changing and we keep praying and we keep praying? Show us, teach us this morning before we leave here, I pray. Amen. This young mom I know, I won't mention her name. I don't think anybody here would know her anyway, but she was telling me recently about some really serious behavioral issues she was having with her son. Now, how many parents know your kids will play you if you let them, right? They know. They'll play if you let them. But anyway, let's call this boy Billy, okay? It's not his real name, but we'll call him Billy. And Billy's birthday was coming up in a couple of months, and he thought it'd be a good time to let his mom know what he wanted for his birthday. So Billy says, Mom, I really want a new bike for my birthday this year, okay? And his mom thought this would be a good time to talk to him about, you know, his behavior. He'd been really mean to his sisters. He was getting in trouble at school. He was disobedient. He was just rebellious, defiant. And she was troubled by it. So she very calmly asks him, well, Billy, do you think you deserve a new bike this year? And he immediately said, oh, yeah, Ma, I do. I've been riding that old one for a couple of years now. I need a new bike. He said, okay, well, Billy, I'll tell you what to do. Go up in your room and just think about how you've been acting, how you've been behaving here at home with your sisters, how you've been acting at school, and then write a letter to Jesus and tell him why you think you deserve a new bike for your birthday, okay? Billy gives the old eye roll and says, all right, and goes up to his room. He starts writing this letter. Dear Jesus, I've been a very good boy this year, and I would like a new bike for my birthday. I want a red one, please, signed your friend Billy. Now, Billy knew that wasn't true. He hadn't been a very good boy at all, and he knew Jesus would see right through that, so he tears up the letter. He starts a new one. Dear Jesus, I've been an okay boy this year, and I would still really like a new red bike for my birthday, signed your friend Billy. And he realized, well, that wasn't really true either. And he convinced himself he had to be just completely honest if he was going to get any results with Jesus. So he tore up that letter. He starts letter number three, and he says, Dear Jesus, I know I haven't been a very good boy this year, and I'm very sorry. I'll be a good boy if you just send me a new red bike. Thanks, Billy. And Billy still wasn't sure if that was going to be enough to convince Jesus into giving him a new red bike. So he goes back downstairs. He tells his mom, and he's very upset about this whole thing, and she can see he's upset. Tells her he wants to go down to the church on the corner for a while, and the mom's saying, oh, wow, maybe my plan is really working here. Maybe he's thinking this over, and he feels some conviction in his heart, and he wants to go down there and pray. He seems to be upset. She says, yeah, Billy, be okay. Go down to church for a while. Just come back for supper. Church is down on the corner. He walks down the corner. It was a Catholic church, by the way. It was open for a prayer meeting they were having later that evening, and Billy opens the door, and he looks around. He doesn't see anybody, so he comes walking up to the altar, and he sees a small statue of the Virgin Mary. And he looks around again, and he doesn't see anybody. He grabs the statue, he puts it in his pocket, and he hightails it out of the church. He goes home, runs upstairs, closes the door. He sits back down. He begins to write another letter. This time Billy wrote, Dear Jesus, I've got your mama. If you want to see her again, send the red bike. Signed, you know who. Now, okay, that's funny. But in reality, are we much different from Billy? I mean, we'll do almost anything to get the results we desire, right? Because we're a results-driven society. People get fired from their jobs if they don't produce results. That's just the way it is. If professional ball players don't produce on the field, they get benched, they get traded, or maybe they just get cut from their teams. It's a what have you done for me lately mindset, right? Doesn't matter what you did last month or last week. Salespeople that are in sales, they network all the time thinking it'll help them close the deal or reach that sales goal they're shooting for. We even treat God like that sometimes. A lot of athletes treat God like a good luck charm, right? They all want him to be on their team so they'll play better and win the game. It's almost like a superstition. Anything that might help them get the desired results. Now, I don't think God has a favorite football team in the NFL, unless, of course, it's the New Orleans Saints, right, Lisa? She's from Louisiana. I mean, they're the Saints, right? They're Saints. Anyway, when it comes to our prayer life, I believe we pray for the same reason we do anything else. We think it works. And it does. It does work, but not always in the ways we want it to. Am I right? So what do we do? What do we do when we pray and 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 we pray, but we don't see any results? It was a woman named Florence Chadwick, who was an American swimmer. Anybody ever hear of Florence Chadwick? All right, everybody knows Garth Brooks, but nobody knows Florence Chadwick. I see my audience. I see who I have here today. Anyway, Florence Chadwick, she was known for long-distance open water swimming. And she was the first woman to swim across the English Channel, both directions. And she attempted to swim the 26 miles between California coastline and Catalina Island. It was 26 miles. That's a long stretch to swim. And she had a team in a boat that was going to be kind of close enough to her, kind of keep an eye out for sharks in the water, or in case she started getting leg cramps or started getting fatigued, they were going to help her out. Other than that, they're going to leave her alone. So she starts off on this 26-mile swim. And she's swimming. Now she's into 15 hours of swimming in this thick, heavy fog. This is a true story, too. That story wasn't true, but it might have been, but this is a true story. And this fog just comes in real thick, and she can't see. In fact, it's odd I'm talking about this because it's really foggy this morning for us driving up here. And she can't even see the boat over there or see any coastline. She can't see anything. That'd be kind of spooky, being out in the ocean, and all of a sudden you can't see anything. The fog was that thick. She begins panicking a little. She's starting to lose her confidence. But she kept swimming. She swam for about another hour, and she said, I can't tell you. I don't even know which direction I'm going. I can't do this. So she called the boat. And she found out later she had already completed 25 of the 26 miles, and she was like less than a mile left to complete this goal. But the fog caused her to lose her vision. And it caused her to lose her hope of reaching her goal. And sometimes you and me, we find it hard to keep praying about something or praying for someone when we can't see any signs of an answer through the fog of our day-to-day experiences. I hope that makes sense to you. It becomes frustrating when we don't see any signs of progress for all our labor and effort we're putting into this. But if it's any encouragement to you, I don't think there's a praying person anywhere who hasn't felt the pain of waiting and waiting and waiting on answers to our prayers. I believe it's just part of being a follower of Christ. If all the answers to our prayers came overnight like clockwork, we wouldn't be called people of faith, would we? So as we wait for answers to our prayers, let's consider three questions. Three questions maybe we should ask ourselves. Number one is, what if God wants to do something different? In other words, are we praying for the right results? It may sound right to us, but it may not be what God has in mind. I think of Psalm 55, verse 9, where God says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Now, our ways and our thoughts and our prayers may sound right to us, but it may not be what God has in mind. In the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul, he wanted God to open doors for him in Asia so he could take the gospel into territory where the people hadn't heard the gospel yet. They hadn't been reached. It was one of those unreached people groups. That sounds great, right? That sounds biblically sound and logical. Take the good news to people who haven't heard it yet. But God had something different in mind. One night the Lord gave Paul a vision of a man in Macedonia crying out for Paul to come and share the gospel with them. So Paul changed his plan. He went west into Europe instead of east into Asia. So God may want to do something with us too. Something different than what we think. Keep that in mind. He may just want to do something different. The second question we need to ask is, what if God wants to purify my motives? In other words, are we praying for the right reasons? See, Jesus is very concerned about our motives, and he already knows what they are. We may be able to fool each other, and we may be able to pray spirit-filled sounding prayers, but Jesus knows. He knows if we're attaching some selfish desire to our prayers or trying to impress somebody with our prayer. We may be able to fool each other, but ain't nobody fooling Jesus, right? That'd be a good line for another Garth Brooks song. Ain't nobody fooling Jesus, y'all. Maybe not. Anyway, in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, in the 6th chapter of Matthew, when he was teaching about how we should pray, he said, when you pray, and notice that, when you pray, not if you pray, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on the street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. He said, I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they'll ever get. But when you pray, Jesus says, go into your room. One translation says, go away by yourself. You get away. Go in your room, close the door, pray to your Father. So, does that mean Jesus is against public prayer? No, absolutely not. Of course not. But he doesn't want us to pray in a way where we're trying to impress anybody who may be listening to us. And if that's what we're trying to do when we pray publicly, that's the only reward we'll get, the recognition of people, not God. Sometimes, even when we don't even see any results, that's not wasted time. God could still use that time to purify our motives in prayer, and that's a good thing. And the third question we need to ask is, what if God wants to change me or stretch my faith? Right? You know, when we were going through the most heartbreaking season of our lives, when our daughter Amy was so sick, I found myself trying to manipulate God. I was trying to get him to do what we so desperately wanted, for him to heal her here. It was like I was trying to force his hand to do something, because the more we prayed and the more we had other people praying, the worse she got. And one night out in our driveway, looking up at the stars, I did a lot of that back then. I just cried out to God. I said, what else we got to do to make you heal her? Just tell us. Tell us what we got to do. Why won't you do that? I wanted to control God. Isn't that silly? But you do desperate things when you're desperate. I wanted to change his mind, but through it all, he changed me. And it reminded me of a quote from C.S. Lewis, a British author, theologian. You know, he wrote Mere Christianity, the Screwtape Letters, and of course, the Chronicles of Narnia. He even made a movie of C.S. Lewis's life called Shadowlands. If you ever see it, I think Anthony Hopkins played the part of C.S. Lewis. But this is what C.S. Lewis said about prayer. He says, I pray because I can't help myself. I pray because I'm helpless. I pray because the need flows out of me all the time, waking and sleeping. Listen to this part. It doesn't change God, it changes me. Prayer doesn't change God. Prayer changes us. Remember that. If you forget everything else I said this morning, remember this. Prayer doesn't change God. Prayer changes you and me. Now, I know God does change our circumstances from time to time. I know that. But it's more important that prayer changes us than it is that prayer changes our circumstances. But sometimes God is so gracious and kind and loving, he does both. He changes our circumstances and he changes us through it. You know the scripture where Jesus says, ask and it'll be given to you, and seek and you'll find, and knock and the door will be open to you? That almost sounds too easy. That sounds too good to be true. Usually if something's too good to be true, it's of God, right? But I really like the way that scripture reads in the New Living Translation. Let's look at that. It's Matthew 7, verse 7. When Jesus tells us, keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. See, this isn't one and done kind of praying. This is ongoing, continual prayer. Keep on asking and you'll receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. He goes on in verse 8 and he says, for everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and to everyone who knocks the door will be open. Now I was reading about those two verses And I was reading how there are some believe Jesus has given us three pictures of prayer in these two verses. And the three pictures are asking prayer, seeking prayer, and knocking prayer. And I thought, okay. So asking prayer is what we do when we know the will of God. And we pray a prayer of faith. We can pray for things like food and provision and protection by asking in faith. We can lay hold of the answer by faith and stand on it because God's already communicated his will on the matter in his word. For example, we can ask in faith for more wisdom because God's word tells us in James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should what? You should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. That's asking prayer. And that's a wonderful promise. But don't just ask once and forget about it. Keep asking, Jesus tells us. Keep asking. And then comes seeking prayer. Seeking prayer is what we do when we're not sure about the will of God, so we must seek his mind on the matter. We don't know if it's God's will or not about opportunity we have maybe to move across the country. We don't know if it's his will for us to about taking a new job and starting over, or about committing to a long-term relationship, or about getting married to someone, or about having a child, or about having another child, or about having another child. The Bible doesn't have a chapter and a verse to clearly tell us what God's will is in these types of things. So instead of just doing what we want to do or what we feel we want to do, we got to seek his mind in our prayers. And we must keep seeking. Keep seeking, Jesus tells us. So we pray like Jesus prayed, not my will, but your will be done. Right? Not what I want, Lord, but what you want. So show me what that is, because I don't want to mess this up. The third type of prayer Jesus mentions in his passage is knocking prayer. Now, this is what we do when we know God's will on an issue, but it involves the will of someone else. Or it involves factors that can't be forced. So it's a closed door that we need to knock on, and we need to keep knocking on it. For instance, we can pray for someone's salvation, knowing God's will is that none would perish, but all would come to repentance. That's 2 Peter chapter 3. So praying for someone's salvation, we know is praying in God's will. But we can't just name it and claim it because it involves someone else's will too, right? Ask Bobby about that one. And how no matter how bad she wanted me to come to Christ, I had a will too, and it was a stubborn one. And God wasn't going to force me into his kingdom no matter how bad Bobby wanted that for me. But she was fervent. Man, that girl prayed, and she prayed, and she prayed, and she kept knocking and knocking and knocking and knocking. And then finally my heart softened, and finally I smartened up and said yes to Jesus. And if anyone here hasn't done that yet, don't keep putting it off like I did. Smarten up like I finally did. Say yes to Jesus. You know that word used in Matthew 7:7 for knock, it's an interesting word. It describes a constant beating on a door. Not just a one-time tap, but it's an almost annoying knocking, 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 knocking until the desired result occurs and the door finally opens. Jesus is telling us to persist in prayer like that as we partner with him to accomplish his purposes here in the earth because we are his co-laborers, right? And as he builds his kingdom here, he wants to use every one of us. Say, well, I can't do much. No, yeah, Ken. He wants to use every one of us. If you got a pulse, you still got a purpose, right? Intercessory prayer, that's knocking prayer. And the results we desire may not come quickly, but we're aligning ourselves with God's purposes by continuing to pray and not give up. Let me remind us, we don't always know what's good for us, do we? But God does. He's a good father. He longs to give good gifts to his children. So when we ask, and when we seek, and when we knock, God may answer in a way we didn't expect him to. Or he may answer in a way we really didn't want him to either. But he's sovereign over all, and we're not. He knows what's best for us. And sometimes we may not like it, and we reject it. Nah, it couldn't be a God. And we missed the blessing he had for us if we would have just said, okay. See, this isn't a case of just getting anything we want. This scripture isn't saying that if we only ask hard enough and we only believe hard enough that it's all going to turn out the way we want it to. But we are promised it'll turn out for our ultimate good. So be encouraged by that this morning, church. Jesus is encouraging us and he's exhorting us to keep on asking whatever it is you've been asking for. He's saying, keep on asking. He's saying, keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. Don't stop knocking. Keep knocking and knocking and knocking and knocking. Bobby knocked till she thought, I don't see any change in this man. But it worked. Eventually, it got through to me. And you know, Jesus is saying, this is how you pray. Keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. And he'll take care of the rest. Amen. Let's pray. Stand with me if you're able. Let's have a closing prayer. You'll be free to go. Enjoy the rest of this day. Come back next week. Bring somebody with you. Remember our pizza lunch on the 22nd. There's a clipboard out there. If you haven't put down what kind of pizza you want me to order, please do that. And if you need prayer for anything, I'll be up here for a while. You can pray where you are. Lord, thanks again for how you teach us, even something as simple as prayer. That prayer is basically talking to you, and we don't need books to read about it, but you tell us, you encourage us, you show us in your word about asking, about seeking, about knocking. So help us not get discouraged. Help us not lose our vision in the fog of this life and give up, but keep pressing on and keep pushing into you more and more and more and more, knowing you have nothing but the good stuff for us. Your plans are so much better than ours. Forgive us where we think ours are better or ours make more sense. Help us to be willing to submit to you. As that verse says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He'll make your path straight. We trust in that. We believe that, Lord. Let us live in a way that shows we believe that in Christ's name. Amen and amen.